Blog Talk Radio.
The views, opinions, and statements made by callers are not necessarily the beliefs of the Professional Association of City Employees, PACE, the National Association of Government Employees, its officials, agents, or employees of the union. This show is for the purpose of airing opinions, concerns, and general commentary among PACE union members. The views expressed are solely those of the caller and do not automatically represent the policies, position, or view of the union, and may not be construed as legal advice. Welcome to Radio Connections with PACE. And my name is Gina Pagnotta Murphy. I am the host today, and I'm here with
the co-host, Ebony Walton.
How are you, Ebony?
I am good, Gina.
Top of the day to you.
Top of the day to you.
So how you been since last week?
I've been fine since last week. I don't know about the world, but I've been fine. How you been?
I've been day by day. That's my slogan since 2020 and going into 2021, day by day, taking one day at a time.
That's all you can
so
do.
So what are we talking about today? What's the highlight? What are we going to be talking about today so the callers can know they got something they want to call in? Of course, call in. If you just want to listen, you can link in And we hope that we have some good participation like we did last week.
Yeah, last week was really good. And the call-in number will be, and we'll give you a time to call in, to be 516-418-5441. Again, that number is 516-418-5441. Well, the topics, of course, we got to bring up what happened last week at the Capitol.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't even I listen.
As soon as you left yesterday, as soon as we stopped the show, that's what it was going on at that time.
And While we were on it,
as soon as we got off, that's when it happened.
Oh, okay. Well, unfortunately for a lot of folks, you know, I don't know. I'm still mesmerized. I mean, you know, in the city, you know how you always talk when we work in the city of Atlanta and how we always, the slogan is, you know, that's the city for you. Or, you know, how long are you planning on being here when new hires come on board? Say, you got to learn the city way. And, you know, and certain things is done by historical, you know, even though we have policies and procedures, we also have the quote unquote hidden historical practices.
Exactly.
And so some things are just left untouched and unguarded. And so when I saw all of that going on in Washington and at Capitol, I was so mesmerized, and I'm never speechless. Rarely do you catch me speechless.
I know.
My mouth, you could have picked it up from the floor. I'm like, oh, my gee, are we serious?
It was unbelievable.
It was like not the holy ground. I don't want to put it up there, nothing up there to the high power. But when you talk about the Capitol and Washington, D.C., and you're talking about this is where, you know, all of our past, history, whether good or bad, that was just unbelievable. And to see that being demonstrated and breaking in and tearing up stuff, and that looked like something way back in the day when we had slavery. Remember when the black people back then that we now call African-Americans were being... you know, that's something that I've seen that I don't even want to get into it. That's just my opinion. And I feel that they should have, if that would have been other color, as I'm hearing that they're talking about, some of the rest of us up in there, we'd have been dead. You know, I just feel terrible.
I just don't get how they were able to breach that. When I saw them pulling that fence, you saw them when they was pulling the fence back. I don't see how they able to get that far. They got too far.
It was an inside job.
Had to be.
No way in this world you could tell me. I've been in the military. We know how tight security can be, and we know we've had assassinations in the past. And all of that stuff had to be from people on the inside, somebody that's just not patriotic, somebody that's got so much hate and got a little team and those folks. And see, this is what's the scary part of it. You don't know who it is that you're talking to day to day.
Nope.
Whether black, red, white, green, or blue. You don't know the hate that they have, even for you as an individual.
You don't.
Speaking of that, sometimes when you're working for the city of Atlanta, you don't know who's got your team and who's got your back. And even in the military, way back then, I know the history of some of the military back in those days where, you know, some folks were, they said, friendly fire.
Yeah.
You know, and so... that was just something that I never thought I would see. There's nothing patriotic right now anymore. They have destroyed everything patriotic, the outside world looking in on us, laughing at us, saying that that's something that they would see in those third world countries, not in the United States of America.
Not where people run to.
We are a laughing joke. We're no, I don't feel we're no longer the pot of, what is that, the land of milk and honey.
No, no.
We're not to have something like that. And the sad part about it that really discourages me that I'm hearing is that this is not the end.
No, it's just beginning. With that, you already know that they're saying that this following Sunday and when they bring in Biden's administration, that it's going to be Capitol. They're going to be at the Capitol's riding or doing all kind of demonstrations then. So we're in 12 hours on those days already.
I can imagine the police force, APD, is going to be, as well as DeKalb County, as well as state troopers,
hopefully,
as well as
they
all of them, hopefully it's going to be
something
alert.
Like that,
And I'm really going to send out my prayers to them and their families because this is going to be a trying time, and even just regular citizens, because you don't know what kind of chaos they're going to do out there. And what I'm praying that don't happen, you know, we have that other group, that other militia group that walked in Stone Mountain. I'm hoping they don't rise up and try to be what you call the guardian angels. And we're not asking for any of that. It's going to be ugly.
It's going to be way worse than the summer with the civil unrest. This is going to be way worse. This is different. This is beyond. Just to be in my lifetime to see, to hear your grandparents, your great-parents, great-grandparents have dealt with certain things in their time. This is totally, it's a different type because it's out front and open and
in your face.
And it's just blatant.
And you know, the thing about it is nobody was wearing masks that I could see.
No.
So they're going to go back to those states and infiltrate all that virus if they caught it.
And
it's a never ending situation.
It's horrible.
And it was sad. All I could do, I literally, and you know, I'm hardcore.
No, you did.
In the front.
No, you did. Yeah.
In the front.
In the front.
But I literally cried.
Really?
Literally cried because I'm military. I'm ex-military. And nobody, I'm a veteran, and my whole family was civil service, and my dad was Special Forces at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, 82nd Airborne Division. I mean, he was all of that, Special Ranger. So I lived all of my life in that. So I'm patriotic no matter who the president was. We are patriotic to the flag. And to see that, to see what was happening, I literally cried. There's nothing sacred anymore.
Nothing, nothing. Everything is a joke now.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard to get it back. And I feel for President-elect Biden and Kamala Harris, VP, coming on board. One thing about it, though, for their security, I know what he's trying to set precedents. But he needs to be smart, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They don't need no inauguration like that. I think it needs to be more of a quiet ceremony. You can see it and view it, but I think it should be
considering
guarded, considering.
Yeah.
And then later on down the road, Secret Service, once he gets the Secret Service he can trust and get everything down, then have your formal inauguration. But I think he needs to be, you know how people can go and get married or off elope and then come back and have a full way.
Yeah.
That's my opinion that should be done because right now we don't need nothing.
And even to try to impeach him now, I get it, but again, you see it's going to cause more havoc than anything. And
absolutely.
Then do we have the time?
I mean, it's
almost over.
You know, what they need to do, like we see on the movies, you know, or the 25th Amendment, or see in the movie, just take his power from him.
Just
let him sit up in the room and snatch him. You're no longer going to have your finger on anything. We already froze your Twitter account, which they should have done a long time
ago. I know, he over there messed up.
Let's just sit in their room and just wait, isolate.
Put the dust
hat
on.
You know, and just wait, time to go.
Yeah.
And I don't feel sorry for him because he's a habit. But, it's just questionable, where is he going to go and what is he going to do?
Yeah. And
That's my scary part because he knows a lot of stuff.
He
knows a lot of stuff. And in the military, we need to put him in stockade somewhere because he knows too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just put him, isolate him somewhere, debrief him because he's talking about running to Russia and all of this
kind of
crazy stuff.
And then you saw last night they were arresting or had some other officers and military personnel.
Absolutely.
That was in the crowd with
wearing their military gear and
using their badges.
I think they need to take them and give them the maximum.
Above the maximum
yes. lockdown.
Yes.
Because you are a traitor. And
yes.
that's called a traitor and called treason. They ought to be glad they don't work for China somewhere like over there. Because even Jiang Yimqing, I'm sorry, whatever his name was, it's not really funny. We're laughing at it. But understandably, history said he killed his own brother. You know, I mean, he executed his own family for being a traitor. So anyway.
Yeah.
That was a mess.
Was.
And I see we got some callers on. See if anybody want to speak on that. If not, we'll just move on to go ahead, caller, you on the air. Okay. Try the next one. Go ahead, caller, you on the air. Okay. No, they just want to listen in. That's okay. That's fine. You can call in to talk, comment, or you can just listen, and we're okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
So speaking on all of that, we just have to be careful, which winds me back up to the cloud that's over us with the pandemic.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
On top of all of this, we got pandemic going on still, which is scary in itself.
Now, they had the... I told you about the COVID testing, so mine is scheduled for next week. I'm going to do it.
For the viewers that can't see, we are masked and we 6 feet apart.
Yes.
And we're going to spray some Lysol all around before I leave. Spray me down.
Put our ass mask on.
Yeah.
But I am going to take it. I hear they're having some issues with some of the people that are out there taking the. Or trying to take it. They're having some problems with registering or whatnot, but I'm taking it. Like I said, I would much rather take it and not get COVID, maybe have a couple of side effects that won't be too bad, a headache, maybe a little nausea or something, as opposed to me not taking it. And then another friend of mine, she just posted that she has it. So, and she has the chills. To her, it seems like it's the flu, but she's just really, really, really tired. So.
Well, it's sad because there is a, speaking of friends, I have a friend, and let's pray for him, please, name his oldest Kyler. He's an old college friend of mine, was in the band in Federal State University, and he's like a brother to me. He's in South Carolina, but he's in the hospital. He's been in the hospital 2 weeks with it, and he's not doing real well. So, and then I just found out a close friend of mine's wife got it. And so, you know, it's just so much. And we just got to be safe as much as possible because it's not, you know, somebody told me it's not if you get it, it's when you get it. I'm like, don't say that because it's like everybody in the world
that's
supposed
kind
to get it.
That's kind of
and that's
where
the way everybody
to.
Is going. So we just have to learn to be safe. It got me immobilized. And speaking of that, this is a little bit funny, but not funny because of the topic of it. But I happen to watch, you know, I'm an old thing. I like Andy Griffin and Carol Burnett, and I record those on MeTV. And Carol Burnett had a thing on there with her and Tim Conway. And guess what one of their skits was about? The swine flu. And I'm like, oh, my God. No, you didn't go there with the swine flu. That shows you how old these shows are.
Yeah.
And Tim Conway, the skit was about Tim Conway taking all the vaccine they had, about 4 shots he got. And while they were sitting there, you know, talking and said he was fine. And all of a sudden his nose started looking like a pig.
Really?
I started laughing, but it wasn't funny because we're beyond the swine flu.
Exactly.
But the fact that it's a pandemic that's starting right now kind of bothered me a little bit.
And then I'm going to take the vaccine
and now
next week, and you're talking about my nose blowing up?
Well, it's not the swine flu. I don't know what kind is going to blow up but on your face, but I'm going to be watching you very closely. That will determine if I want to take the vaccine or not.
Hopefully.
So,
everybody's having different things. I mean, it just depends on what you already, if you already have some type of ailments inside or whatever I don't know what's inside this vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have had some difficulty breathing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep you for 30 minutes, I'm told, before they release you to go home. So
mm-hmm.
that's a good thing. But I'm taking it. Like I said, I'm going to take it just because I still go to work every day. And it's
right.
I would much rather take it than not.
To be
right
safe.
Now.
And
yeah.
Solid.
And then they're giving it to us. So I'll do it. I'll do it. That's fine. That's not
but, well, I mean, I commend, first of all, on a serious note, I commend anyone that goes to work, all our sheroes and heroes that go out there every day and physically out there helping folks in the industries of working, essential workers, the hospital, they're human and they're allowed,
yeah.
they're losing family members, they're getting sick. So my prayers go out to them as well. And anyone that wants to be a shero and hero and takes this vaccine, and we can get the more that we
yeah.
can get folks that feel comfortable taking it, hopefully that will deviate some of the symptoms or some of the people to not get it
yeah.
as much as we have people that are so insensitive and don't want to wear masks
mm-hmm.
and go out and party like it's
nothing going on
and making other folks sick. And for the city of Atlanta, I am doing my darndest to try. DPW has adapted from the some, you know, Pace never gets credit where credit is due, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're a tireless union, you know. We always fight behind the scenes, and pretty much that's where we get a lot of work done is through
fine.
People behind
that's
the scene.
That's
and I'm okay with that because at the end of the day, what we request, if it's fixed and done, we're happy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I want to do is get a citywide ordinance, maybe legislated,
mm-hmm.
that before you can return to work, if you tested positive,
exactly.
you need to have a negative result before you come back in.
You should.
I get they following the CDC guidelines. I get that. But everybody doesn't heal, and everybody mm-hmm. is not clear in 10 days.
Nope.
Some people last 14 days. Like my grandson, when he had it, the whole family had it. And when they went back, everybody was confirmed negative except the 2-year-old. He was still positive. It was 30 days,
see,
because it was, you know,
it
one or two.
Be.
But they before you can return to a work environment that
mm-hmm.
you're physically going to work, you need to have a negative test.
You should.
And the city should pay you up until that time when you get tested within that 14 days.
But
and if it goes beyond 14 days, then, of course, you need to have some other kind of backup. DPW did adopt that, but I'm looking to try to get the whole city to adopt it. What you think on that?
I think the same thing. I think explain to us what DPW is.
Department of Public Works.
Okay.
Sorry, for the listeners out there.
Exactly. Thank you. I think the same thing because we go into work. We're in one room with about 30 to 35 people in there, call takers, that's talking constantly. That as long as you're at your console, you can take your mask off. But that air is still there. We're still in that room. The doors, the front and the back door, are still open. However, we're still in the same room. When someone contracts COVID, and we've had several people that catch it. Good thing they didn't catch it. It was an outbreak. It wasn't an outbreak within the center, but they've caught it outside the center. They still should be able to get a negative result before returning back to work because it would just ease our nerves a lot.
Absolutely. Your nerves and your anxiety.
And
it's a healthy thing to do.
Exactly.
And you will want to know.
And you should
want to
know because some people still can retest it and still be positive with
mm-hmm.
no symptoms.
With no symptoms.
So that means you still can carry it and can't give it to me,
mm-hmm.
but you'll be okay.
And
that's not good.
And I have another suggestion. I don't know how healthy it will be, but it'll be sensible to me. Get a can of Lysol and then every now and then you guys
keep praying.
Like a 1 minute, 60 minutes to spray through the room, you know. So,
no.
But somebody might get sick.
Let me tell you what,
off.
with that being said, a couple
mm-hmm.
of weeks ago, we had someone that they called in after they left work and said they tested positive
mm-hmm.
for COVID.
Okay.
So we then have this machine
okay.
that it's a machine that has the cleaning equipment in it.
Right.
And it looked like a Ghostbuster pack.
Okay. All right. So
the supervisor went around spraying it while the employees were in there.
Oh,
sprayed
no,
it toward the floor, and it wasn't so, but we couldn't leave the center because our training room
right.
was not set up to do the call taking.
Right.
So
okay.
they wanted to just take precaution. And if you didn't do it, the employees would have been mad. But because she did it, they still were mad because they were in there. So I don't think we're going to do that again. But yeah, the lice, that's probably a bit too much. Some people have allergies. Some people have, some of them have.
Hot murmurs or depression.
Yeah, stuff like that. So it can trigger a lot of things. We had one employee go home. A lot of them just had to leave out the room for breakfast. And you could smell it. Whether it was harmful to you or not, it still had a little stench to it. So, yeah, I don't know. This COVID thing, it's new. It's new to.
Well, we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. You're on.
They're here.
Go ahead, caller. They just want to listen. That's fine. But anyway, so my whole theory of all of this right now, when it adapts to the City of Atlanta employees, we do need to have that in place for protection of the employees coming back to work and relieving the anxiety.
And what about because you know they've done away with the FFCRA time now. That's done. We're not receiving that anymore, and we still reporting to work. And people are still getting sick. So that should be something that should be fought for to get that back.
Are you getting the money as long as
you come to work every day.
Right.
But if you have a vacation, which you need a vacation,
right,
you're
right.
still working.
Right.
That you should still get that $500 unless you sick out.
Right.
That's how that should be.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to bring that up to labor management, the HR.
Exactly. Those two things.
I heard that too before, you know, and we need to look at all of that. What the problem is, I think the city needs to sit face down at the table, well, virtual,
yeah,
with HR, labor management, have a Zoom meeting, which I'll call, and let us just bring everything that our plans, a strategy on how we should move through the city with all of this to let them know, hey, this is what we're proposing.
Exactly.
And is this something that you are interested in? If it doesn't cost you any money, it's budgetless. I don't understand if it's some healthy reason why it should be a problem.
So with that being said, with PACE, how many departments within the City of Atlanta do PACE represent right now?
All of them.
All of them. So they have active members in each department,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have active members. More probably some than others, but we have active members in all departments
so
in the City of Atlanta.
So PACE will represent the whole city.
We basically
all the
do.
Departments.
Pretty much. We basically do. And we look out for the best interests and do what we can. In a normal time, people that join the union, it's better for you to be in the union than to wait till you feel like you're going to get in trouble. A lot of people's theory in their mind, oh, I've been here so many years, I don't need to be in the union.
Mm-hmm.
But the irony of it all is the ones that's been here the longest is the ones that really needs to be interested in being a part of the union.
Mm-hmm.
Because for some reason, and not just the city, they always like to target the senior people. Because, you know, and sometimes it's a double-edged sword because your senior expertise people can be ethically good workers and have know where the stones are, know what to do, know the policies. And then you have some that just been getting away with things. But those normally that we find out later are people that's bought in by my cousin, my brother, my husband, or somebody special favors, you know, and just been riding the coattails of others that's not getting accredited for the work that they do. Sometimes it's hard to try to weed that all out at one time, but because we change the guard so much and we can cut the head off a snake, but sometimes you got a three-headed snake.
You sure do.
And you don't know where those three-headed snakes lie.
No,
so you think you cut one head and you got the other two and the tail.
Yep.
And so it's good to be in the union with PACE and that we can help you when you get to that point, whether
exactly.
you classified and unclassified. And speaking of unclassified and classified, we were thinking about at one time, and we're still looking into it, we don't pay Social Security taxes, you know, when you work for the city.
No. Yes,
and
right.
you got some people that this is their first time, their first job, you know, young folks coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've been here a while and you get all of a sudden you get a new manager that don't like you and I don't like you. And because you are classified, I can fire you at will. You don't have classified rights.
Exactly.
And they may be firing you or terminating you wrongfully. And if you're in the union, we can support you on trying to fight that battle for you through EOC, help you out, and necessarily have attorney representation. However, the fact that I would like to sit down and talk about with council and labor relations or HR and administration is that let's look at maybe if you don't want to have unclassified, I want to do away with unclassified, period. I think if you hire a person to work for the city,
you need them.
You need them, and if you're doing the right thing, they should have classified rights to eliminate bad leadership that don't like you and hire, fire you at will. And I think that we should do away with that. If we can't do away with that for whatever political reason it is, then unclassified people should have an opportunity for arbitration. And that should be a contract written with the union. As long as you're in the union, with the union, mm-hmm. and you are unclassified employee and you're terminated, then we can arbitrate for you at least the labor relations. You
okay.
see what I'm saying?
Okay.
To have a say, not have a classified hearing, but an arbitration that we can provide evidence that this person was wrongfully terminated and that the city might need to relook at this. And, you know, because mm-hmm. that would save a lot of lawsuits.
Okay.
So that's something that PACE is looking into, you know, because they don't have Social Security. So when you don't pay Social Security, you go out there, you put these people
yeah.
now with this new world with the pandemic, these folks can't get, but they haven't been, what do you call, vested?
Yeah.
And if they're not vested, what are they getting? They're getting mm-hmm. nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even getting Social Security because they haven't put nothing into the Social Security. So that's a lot around there. We just, you know, me and my brilliant idea, I just lay up here and think about things, you know. Or when I watch the news, or when people call me, or we have incidents
mm-hmm.
that happen. So that's something that we're looking at checking out. But over and all, recently, I think that we got a good band of employees. You always have some employees that just won't do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
but you got codes and policies in place. If your leadership, management, chain of command do the right thing themselves, know the policy. See, that's the problem.
Nobody knows.
A lot of them don't read that 114-528. They don't know those policies. And I think that should be a training. When you become a manager, a leader, or get hired over employees, that's the training you need to have.
They give them to you.
That should have that training. That should be what you call your initiation.
It should be almost like your Bible, your work Bible. That's exactly what
instead
it should be.
Instead of giving you a handbook, they need to give you a handbook with those regulations.
Our department does. That you get those, but it's up to you to read them. And a lot of these people don't read. And my aunt used to tell us all the time, you want to hide some from people, put it in the book.
I think you need to be tested on it.
You should be to an extent, because you need to know. But the thing about that is you get a lot of these employees, they don't read. And then they get up to, they in a situation, we clearly know the answer. It's in SOP, it's in your policy. You must have read your policy, because you should know that this shouldn't be able to be done to you, but they have no clue. And they will not read. People, they just will not read. I don't get it. But let's discuss how city council meeting went on yesterday. Did you listen to it a little?
You listened to it, because I was on Zoom with two of them. That's why
I did.
Tell me
it was interesting. I was waiting to hear something for us, but I didn't hear it yet. So I'm thinking it might be in the financial meeting tomorrow. But I know it's still coming. So yesterday they were discussing 311. 311 has been in these meetings a lot lately. But they were discussing 311, how they're being inundated with a lot of calls that should be directed to 911. And that's true. That is true. We get a lot of calls that 311 sends to us that shouldn't be to us either, though. We get a lot of calls that watershed, well, 311, they gave us this number, don't. This is a 911 center. It's a difference. Anyhow, they're talking about, which is really good, having some type of department and maybe possibly branching 311 away from within the public safety realm, but putting something in place for those calls that are non-emergency calls, which do not require police response. Because those are a lot of our calls that come within into the city that holding the queues for a long time, because these are really not calls that warrant a police presence. So they should. That's a good thing. I thought that was really good. They discussed other things as far as vendors in the city. and how they were offering them a certain percentage. They were going back and forth with those vendors that have already been there for years and then bringing on new vendors. Doesn't seem like they want to bring on new ones, but keep the contract they have with the old vendors, which is good. That's the city. And it kind of gets you, being listening to those meetings, just involving yourself in any type of meetings that have anything to do within the city that's telling you about the city. The city of Atlanta is just a unique city. It's
right,
just unique.
Right.
It is just unique. But then the other night, I'm driving home from work about 11:30, and it was daylight. It was daylight still. They have the homeless, you know, that since they closed that one shelter, they just out walking around with these big blankets, and it's just so sad. It's just so sad. But then they had another fellow on yesterday talking about those shelters, but, you know, they're trying to do away with the city jail. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. I don't know.
Well, why can't they just turn that city jail into a shelter for the homeless?
I don't know.
Well, I guess it's either politics or...
Yeah, that's
311. You mentioned something. I've been getting some calls on 311, and I'm glad that they're talking about 311, but it seems that they're have shortage of employees on these call takers like you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been getting some calls and concerns about not enough workers to answer these phone calls. And I don't know. I have not had an opportunity to reach out to the commissioner over there recently, but our steward over there has been calling, you know, let me know that they are having some issues in 311.
Really? And see, I would like to know what it is exactly they do, because I don't know.
Right.
What their center, how their center is set up, and what exactly they're supposed to do.
I think I will put you in contact with the person over there, Mr. Butler. That's our steward over there. And I think I'm going to have you all have a meeting and let you all diverse. Because you remember I had mentioned at one time that was, you know, maybe 311 and 911 could collaborate here and there.
Yeah,
a few
exactly.
of them that's excellent that can be trained to help assist whenever need to be helped assist.
Exactly.
But I think that would be a good thing for you guys to communicate and share how your processes are. What, you know, we know you with the citizens, but they're with the citizens too, but
yeah,
on a totally
exactly.
different realm.
Different
and
realm.
See where you know, what's going on with their shortage, and maybe between the both of y'all can come up with some strategy.
You never know.
That could help both units, and
okay.
and that we can you know, submit to management and see what we can come out with.
So weekly, what we would like to do on this show is bring up certain topics that either employees or employers have had some type of issue, dealings with, or something, and just kind of see if we can just have an open forum to discuss how people handle what they handle. And I know what we've been dealing with, a lot of people, not just within the city, but other people outside the city that have managed people have problems with managing difficult employees, right?
Well, I take some, you know, I've always said, you know, there's always been an agreement to disagree that leaders are born
exactly.
versus can they be trained
exactly.
to be good leaders. And it just depends on the perspective of what type of person you are. Because to me, a leader is your personality.
It is.
And when you have that different personality like that, you can either be a leader or not a leader. And it depends on, you know, it takes a special person to lead and lead effectively, productively. And there is a time I heard people, don't bring your personal stuff in the home. Well, you can't help do that. That's that old regime back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's that military stuff back in the day. But when you walk into your job and your workplace, you bringing everything in with you that's happened to you from last night, from last year, or whatever's going with you into your job. Now, as a good leader, you should be able to tell by knowing your employee
mm-hmm.
what's going on with them and do a daily check-in. Because
yes.
when I was there working physically with my team, I know each one of my people's personality.
Yeah.
I'm going to pat myself on the back. I don't know what is that God-given or whatever. I can discern when they walk through that door if they had a bad day or
mm-hmm.
if they had a good day, because I watch them every day. and I know them. I work with them. I don't work over them. I'm a team with them.
Exactly.
And I don't have to say every day, I'm the boss. I'm your supervisor.
Yeah.
They know, and I
they
know.
Should. Yeah, exactly.
I don't have to put it out there. So that's where I get my respect. But if I got my guy coming in or my lady coming in and she's not looking, I can tell even from how I speak to each one of them, good morning or good afternoon. Depending on how I hear the tone in their response, something's wrong. Later on that day, I'll pull him in my office and I say, you doing okay? Everything okay? Would you like to talk about it? Would you like to share? Okay, because I know something going. A lot of times they will say, yeah, I'm having a little family issues, but I'm okay. I say, okay, do you need some? Do you want to take lunch early? Are you all right? I try to help them and not be, you know, beating up on them or anything like that. And so I think those are good leaders. Another thing about what I like about leadership, a leader is supposed to help your subordinates grow and move on or grow to take your spot.
Exactly.
And a lot of people get finicky or they get, what's the word I'm looking for? They get jealous because they feel that you're trying to take their job. As a leader, you want them to be able to do your job. So I could take a vacation.
Exactly.
Because I used to have a team, I could never go on vacation. Now I have a team, I can go on vacation and feel comfortable and come back. They know when to call me, they know when not. You know, and leaders need to know how to lead. You can't, and I'm a firm believer, you can't train a leader.
You can't. It's in them.
They have to be born.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be God-fearing, and they have to be born.
And
you
I can't
train nobody.
I think when that topic came up, I was talking to actually one of my sisters. She's a manager or a supervisor for DFACS or something. And so we were talking, and she was like, I just can't manage these people. They just do what they want to do. And that's what I said. Well, that's a good thing. I said, because actually, you don't manage people.
Mm-hmm.
You lead them. You know, you can't manage anybody. We're adults. You can't manage me. I'm going to do whatever I want to do regardless. But you can lead me. You can set an example. You can let me see what you're doing. And you can show me and you can lead me. I still have to decide for myself whether I want to follow.
And communication, how you communicate.
And exactly.
And how you talk to the person.
And all of that's, right. All of that's in leadership. So we don't, it's not that the fact that you're, we can't manage the people. You can manage what they do, the items, but the actual person, you can't. You can only
You can lead and you can show them,
guide
them.
Exactly.
And allow them to bet into what you're trying to do.
So let me bring this up.
Oh, we got callers just blinking. We just talking and talking.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Hold on 1 second. Let me bring somebody in to give us a talk. And those that are out there, you want to speak to us or call in 516-418-5441. Again, that number is 516-418-5441.
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, it's gonna.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Okay, they're just listening. Okay, click the next one. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Okay. Well, we got a lot. We got one more. Go ahead, caller.
They just want
to listen. Well, that's good. We're glad that we see participants.
That's fine. That's a good
listening.
Thing.
At least you're listening and pass the word. But anytime that you want to call in, anytime you want to call in, and even if it's not about the agenda, if you just want to say something, call in and we can always divert from the agenda and talk and see if we can answer your questions or help you out at any time possible.
Or you can type in your message on our chat.
That's right. You can type in on the chat board and we can see what's going on.
So within certain jobs, like right now you have evaluations, right? I know certain departments are run differently. It's just the nature of what it is.
Right.
Right. And I know within the department I work in, it's just a different beast. It's just different. But with this particular thing, you have to do certain things. You have, as a dispatcher, as a call taker, as a supervisor, as a manager, as an operations manager, everybody have a different job title to do. And that comes with different tasks that you have to perform. So the person up under you might not know your duty. They're not going to know it, more than likely. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have to do certain things, you have employees. We have one that, several. I don't care what you do. They don't want to come in and sign anything unless you're saying something good. Unless you're giving them good accolades all the time, they don't want to ever hear negative. And that's not to me. You have to, it's going to be, it's, everything is never going to be all the time good. And so, with some employees, it, you just might have that. Some of them are just good all the way around. They just do what they're supposed to do.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Yeah, but nobody's perfect. But they come in, they do whatever that's on our sheet to check off if they did X, Y, and Z. Some of them you do have that will, but then you have some that don't.
Right.
But those that don't, when you have your meeting with those particular ones, you give them, okay, you've done this part, this was good, but this is what you have to work on. Let's see what we need to do to work on this. These people never want to hear that part.
Well, you know why that is? Because everybody, the leaders wait to the last minute to do that. See, if you're doing a check-in, check-out, I call it check-in, check-out once a week with your employees, they'll get used and accommodated to the fact that I'm going to have a one-on-one with my leader at this point.
Okay, so again, I say with communications, it's different because it's not like that. We see you holding.
We'll see you, caller. We're going to call you. We'll let you in a minute.
Yeah, so it's a different thing. So say, for instance, we have a call taker over here.
Right.
They put in the call. The dispatcher is yelling and saying, hey, can, or either call the supervisor's phone and say, hey, we have this call. This operator didn't add this information. Can you see if you can get that information? So the supervisor has to go back and say, hey, can you put this information in the call, or what did they give you this information or not? That's what I'm, this is what I'm saying, right? So they think that's a negative. However, it's a simple mistake. Sometimes you just forget to put it in there. Example, let me be a little more detailed. So I take a call. The caller tells me somebody's fighting, there's a weapon involved. I put that information in there, and it goes to dispatch side. Dispatch says, well, I see that you have this priority because when it's a weapon, we use a different priority, which is a high priority. But the weapon is not mentioned in the call. So we need to know what kind of weapon, because these officers are going out there. They need to know if they're looking for a person with a gun, a knife. They need to be prepared. So you go back and you ask that person, hey, so-and-so, did they mention you put a weapon on here, but you didn't state what type of weapon? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Put that in there. Updated. Fine. You got that information in there, right? Then this particular person, again, hey, they said it's a burglar in the house. Did they say X, Y, Z? Can they do you? So it's, and it might just happen to be this particular call taker every time, whether they knew, I don't know, maybe they're distracted. It could be anything. But it's in that moment. We can't wait till that following week to do it or ahead. It's in that moment. And so then they think that there is a...
Put a pin in that. Let's see what the caller is.
Okay. Hold
on. Go ahead, caller. You on the air? Would you like to speak?
Yeah.
My
Go name
ahead.
Is Bawisi
Minnie. I'm sorry, we couldn't hear you.
Yes, my name is Bawisi Minnie. I so appreciate that we have a means of communicating and sending information to one another, especially the city of Atlanta. But that's the only way that we can be able to motivate one another, especially during this time that we are losing people, families, and stuff like that. And I so appreciate that.
Thank you, caller. We appreciate you calling in and giving us those accolades.
Thank you so much.
And anytime that we do this every Tuesday, you can spread the word to your comrades and colleagues. Every Tuesday from 1 to 2, they can call in and listen, and they can call in and ask questions or speak, or they just listen. You can either type it in or you can call in. And I will be sending out a link or email the day before to remind everyone. So we appreciate your calling in and saying something. We really appreciate that.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate it.
Okay, and hope you continue to listen. Through the broadcast. All righty.
All right.
So again, with that being, you know, we don't have that opportunity. It's the nature of the job, right? And in our roll calls, before we start our job, before we go to put on our headsets and take on this 8-hour shift, all these things usually are addressed then, right? That's the beginning.
But let me ask you this. Just like when you have drive cam. Okay, drive cam is a camera in the car, police officers have. Some employees have it, you know, and all vehicles, city vehicles, supposed to have it. and it records everything, and you do something wrong,
mm-hmm.
they your supervisor pulls you in and shows you the film and
okay.
tells you what you did wrong.
Okay.
So why is it when they, instead of talking to them, why is it that you guys have a recording, can pull them in the office, replay the recording, and ask them, what do you think you did wrong? Where did you mess this up? See, remember now, I'm saying a leader has to help you to vet the good, but we also need you to vet the bad.
Exactly.
You need to vet and be held accountable. So what do you think messed this call up right here?
So with that being said, in that moment, we have to get that information then because the call is right now. Then when we do that valuation with that person for that week, because we meet with our people once a month, then we'll go back and we have those
let
reports.
Them hear.
Yeah,
let
and
them hear.
Then you have to hear. We
yes.
won't, we have to let them hear.
Yes.
But in that moment, I'm saying
right.
that's that moment you have to address that situation right there.
Absolutely.
Because this is the nature of it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. But what I would like to see, because I have some people that, I mean, we all have it where this is, it seems like, because say for instance, I'm monitoring you today. I have to turn in my time that I monitor. You have to monitor these employees for a certain amount of time. And during the monitoring session, I noticed a couple of things. So when I bring you in the office, I got to tell you what I noticed. And if it's a consistent situation, I have to consistently tell you. We shouldn't have to go through this, but we are. So you tell me what it is that I need to help you do, because I don't know what it is that you don't get. You know, I want you to help me to help you to understand you better.
Well, after
right?
a certain amount of time, if they're just not complying, and that's with any employee out there with any job that they're doing, if they're constantly making the same errors and you're constantly counseling, then you have to start your progressive steps of discipline. But then it goes back to the fact, like I was saying, the leadership
mm-hmm.
needs to know the codes themselves
mm-hmm.
to be able to do progressive steps of discipline.
Exactly.
And my thing is, you got so many different departments out there that do their own thing.
They do.
It's already in code and legislated under section 114.528 in the Muni Code.
Mm-hmm.
What is the progressive steps of discipline? And you go, and then what does the city look at as being that disciplinary?
Mm-hmm.
And that, and these are the things that leadership needs to understand and read. And this is how to win. This is how the union wins. The union wins because they don't know and we know.
Yeah.
And it goes back to someone asked me, because this was happening, I think, in your area and
know.
Somebody else's area, should an employee be disciplined when they come back with the COVID and they compromise other folks?
Mm-hmm.
Should they be disciplined? Remember you were saying the lady went home, she was diagnosed with COVID-19 and came back 3 or 4 days later to give Christmas presents. Even though she wasn't sick,
yeah,
but she
exactly.
she was positive, and she came back to hand out Christmas presents.
Mm-hmm.
So should that employee have been disciplined? And then in another location, the same thing. Like people are coming back to work without being tested negative and could impact other people, impact other folks
mm-hmm.
to that, you know, you might be asymptomatic, but you are infecting other people. So my thing is, if we can get to the point where you have to have a negative before you return to work, as long as the city is paying you,
mm-hmm.
you need to be negative before you can come back to work. You need to be tested again, and the city gives free tests. So
yes.
there should be no problem.
But until that happens.
But there's nothing in writing.
Exactly.
There's no legislation. There's
nothing.
No policy put in place. And this is where council needs to come on board. They need to step their game up. They need to have a labor management meeting like we used to have back in the day, labor with management and council. And maybe when we have to go before council again this year, probably that's the only way we're going to be able to
that's
get. We invited to their budgeting meeting that we'll bring all of this out. I'm praying that by then some of this stuff will have dissipated.
I'm hoping.
I'm praying. And let's do a shout out right now. I want to do a shout out to all the sheroes and heroes. People that have family members that have passed, people that have families that are sick and going through it, people that have friends, even employees themselves that are out sick. We want to do a shout out that you all are in our prayers, that, you know, condolences, sympathy, and we hope that you get a speedy recovery, that we get through this. We're going to try to, with this podcast, we're going to try to keep you abreast of everything that's going out there, anything the city is putting out. Like I said before, Department of Public Works has already adapted a plan that we endorse for them to do, that you do need to take a test to come back with negative results. And we're asking for the city of Atlanta to adopt that policy for everybody. If you confirm positive, you will be paid until you get a negative to come back to work. Now, you're going to have that 1% that's going to try to milk the system.
Of course.
Because I already know a couple of people work in the private sector lying. And I myself could never lie about something like that. That's like going around and saying you was out, you want to be off and run down to New Orleans for the Mardi Gras and say your cousin died. I could never do something like
that.
You got people that do that. And I'm asking employees, if you are one of those ones that, you know, first of all, build your time. That's number one. Come to work and build your time to take vacation. And then you don't have to lie. That's number one. And then use your common sense. Stay out of these clubs. Stay out of places you really don't to be. And be safe, because you will have other issues that happen to other people. We have another caller that's just coming in. See if they want to speak or they're just listening.
Yes. I was calling. I would like to know, why is it that we think the city did not roll out a citywide policy for COVID procedures? Why each department kind of had to freelance? It's a little like what we have to go through with in the country as a whole.
Okay. I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Caller, you were talking about why the city hasn't rolled out a policy about COVID. If I'm understanding, that's what you're asking. They have rolled out a policy through HR. If they're following the CDC guidelines, once you test it positive, you have 10 days of quarantine. But the problem is that the city has not adopted how to return that person back to work safe and secure. And that's where PACE is wanting the city to consider doing legislation to mandate that if you're tested positive with COVID and you go home and you isolate, you cannot return to work until you test negative. And that's what we're pushing on. Is that what you're talking about, caller? Okay, go ahead. Next caller. Go ahead, caller. Hello? You're on the
air. Gina?
Yes.
Hi, Gina. This is Pamela Coopwood, and I just wanted to give you kudos on this new talk show. My first week listening to
Pam.
It.
Hey, Pam. How are you?
Hey,
thank you.
I am great. Thank you. I hope to be joining you all soon.
Okay. No problem.
Okay.
No problem.
But congratulations.
No problem. This is what your union does. We're trying to reach out to the folks that's at home or that's teleworking or that's working. They want to chime in every Tuesday from 1 to 2. We're trying to get that information out to the folks at home that doesn't have a clue to what's going on, and just have you all call in, have a platform to call in, and you can ask questions, and hopefully we can direct you or give you the answers.
Okay, well, I will definitely put it on my calendar every week, and I'll talk to you soon, Gina.
All right. I hope you can stay on.
Okay.
We're about to end up to hear the rest of it.
I
Thank
am.
You,
I'll
Pam.
Listen till the end.
Thanks, Sam.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay,
you too. Bye-bye.
So I want to go and continue to give out the kudos to all our sheroes and heroes out there, to all the folks that get up and come to work, all of these people that's lost family members and friends, and even with you, be safe. We love you to death. And I'd like to give a shout out to Dustin Hillis once again and his team, and Ms. Shepherd, Councilman Shepherd, that's trying to work with the 911, giving them the increasingly raise that they deserve as the fire and police because of their hazardous duties. And we all out there that's working essential need a salary increase. We all do. And we, of course, you know, Pace will be asking for that when we go before the Budgetary Committee and the full council. But right now, the 911 operators are in so much strain, and we have to give them props and praise because they are the first responders. When you call in to these 911, you don't get the fireman, you don't get a police officer, you get a 911 operator, dispatcher, caller, and they dispatch everything. So we want to make sure that we keep them because the worst thing that could ever happen, especially during this pandemic, especially for the citizens, that you call 911 and nobody answers ever. And that's something that we want to make sure that does never happen. And I also want to give a shout out to Ada Phi Beta Sorority, Inc. I'm a member of that. The businesswoman of sorority, postgraduate. But the thing is, they do a lot of work for, maybe we can start working with them, teaming up with them on helping out with, we do a lot of nonprofit stuff for the senior citizens and education for the giving out scholarships and all of that. But in the meantime, Pace will continue to work close with the administration. And speaking of administration, and this will be a topic next time because we're getting close down to 5 minute mark. Who's running for mayor? So, you know, all your listeners out there, if you heard anything in the grapevine and just want to share with us, you know, let us know next Tuesday between 1 and 2 who you heard that might be running for the mayor and what's going on out there and also what's going on in your department. Any issues that you need Pace to check into, you can always call in on the next line at 516-418-5441.
We have one more caller. We're going to see if they want to speak before we end the show.
All right.
Anything you have to say to us, caller? We have you on the air.
All right.
Uh-oh. Do you have anything you want to say?
Okay. So, we have been getting a lot of interaction today. We see a lot of callers that just want to just listen in, and that's a good thing because we can listen. And so what we need to do going forward, because, you know, a lot of people that are not essential are not essential at home. They don't have access to email. So Pace, probably we need to look at maybe sending them a mailing with the flyer information
in it
so that they will be able to, since they're at home, and we can get more interaction for the people that are actually at home. And if you have something that you would like to discuss or want us to discuss, no matter what it is, and want to put out there or anything of that nature, good news or things that you have some issues or concern, you can always email me at gpagnotta@atlantaga.gov or text me at 678-414-8982. That's gpagnotta@atlantaga.gov. Or 678-414-8982. And Ebony, if you give your information,
it's going to be ebbiemw@gmail.com. Again, that's ebbiemw@gmail.com. That's the best way to reach me through email.
And you can do the email or you can text those numbers. And or you can wait and just call in on the next Tuesday between the hours of 1 and 2 and just talk to us and let us know. You don't have to necessarily be what's on the exact agenda. We're looking forward to any comments or any accolades that you can give that lets us know that we're out there. So a shout out goes to all of your family members. And what are you going to be doing for the rest of the week? How's your workload looking?
It's just regular workload. It's, I'll be going in doing 12 hours the rest of this week for at least 3 days out of the week, and then the one that's we band-aided. But it's be the same thing. That's it.
Because you guys got to be prepared for the alleged.
Exactly. For Sunday and I think next Thursday's or Wednesday's event. So
the inauguration is going to be on the 20th. And that's going to be very, I really wish that they would reconsider doing a private inauguration.
But
you
they probably not.
Not so much what I mean private, but closed information. You know what I'm saying? So, because I really don't want to see a lot of this. I don't want to see too much more of this going on. We need to heal this country.
We do.
We need to heal this city. and we need to heal everyone. And if whatever your high power is, you need to, you know, reach up, put your hands up, get on your knees, whatever it is that makes your comforter, and pray that we get a healing in this country, get a healing in this city, so that we can stay affirmed to our beliefs, work that we're supposed to work. And with that, I am out. Radio Pace, Radio Connection with Pace is out the air. Ebony,
until next time, grow, lead, expand your knowledge, and excel. Make a difference. Till next time, we'll see you.
Stay safe. And next Tuesday, 1 to 2. Take care, everybody.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.